there's a reason why I'm doing this tonight. I just think with all that's going on, if there's ever a time where we need to be close, if there's ever a time when we need to be family, anything that's not family is separated from the kingdom of God. Everything concerning the kingdom of God is family oriented, or it should be. And I can tell you, and I guess I'll speak. By the way, Gina, she's in Houston. She's been wanting to do this for a while. She's done it before, and with everything going on, she really felt this was a perfect time. I mean, she went and got away for a couple of days at a nunnery. Now, don't worry, she's not coming back with a habit on or anything like that, you know. But this special place where they just allow people to come, and they don't even charge her. It's a Catholic retreat center, and she's been there before, and she knows the people, and so she's just getting away, and she just said, "John, thank you for letting me do this." I said, "Well, it's no problem, honey. You've been wanting to do this for a while, so that's where she's at, and she'll be back tomorrow." But she sends her love, and you know, she's just like all of us right now. And I can tell you, as a pastor, I'm really wanting to hear the heart of God for this whole thing in our area. And I'm one of those who I'm all for. Okay, what can we do now to make our kids safer? What can we do for security? I'm all for that, and I agree with all of that. But really, in my heart, as a pastor in this community, I'm more concerned about preempting things. And here's the thing. You can get into a blame type thing, and that doesn't solve anything. You can get into what are we not doing. That really doesn't solve anything. But what is we as the body of Christ, how should we really function? How should we really be doing life? Not brag on this church, and I brag on you people all the time. But here's the thing. If we're not careful, let's put it this way. You guys do so much, maybe more than a lot of other churches might be doing in this area. And again, I don't even want to even say that, but it's not a matter of comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's seeing ourselves in the light of God's word and doing what he's gifted us to do, has graced us to do, and has assigned us to do. So the thing about comparing ourselves, boy, we're doing more than so-and-so down the street or this and that, that's a futile exercise, and it doesn't accomplish anything, and it's not the heart of God. You know, it's all about taking what's been deposited in us and asking for God's wisdom of how we can release it and export it to the sphere of influence that God has given us, you see. And at times like this, it forces us to just take stock and to... I'm so proud of the first responders. I'm so proud. I'll tell you what, our country, just as a nation, we are great at coming to the aid of people. But I know you all feel this too. I'm tired of the vigils. I'm tired of the, you know, the after the fact things where we come together and we pray for the victims and we pour out that love. You know, I'm getting, even Kelly Clarkson, I think at some award show the other night, they asked her to do a moment of silence. And she says, "I'm tired of moments of silence. I'd rather have a moment of action." Some say she was talking about guns. She didn't say that. She just says, "I wish we would just have a moment of action," which to me makes a lot of sense. But if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to pray right now as we're here. There's a church service going on in Santa Fe. It's at the Santa Fe High School. Understandably, they couldn't open up at Santa Fe Junior High, rather, because the high school, they still can't let people in there. So there are people in Hitchcock and Santa Fe. They're there having a service tonight. A lot of pastors in the area are going to be there. It's open to the community. Lorena, our youth pastor, is there representing us. And so I probably would have been there tonight if Gina was here, but since Gina's not here, I felt I need to stay home. But they're having a church service to pray and to praise God and to, you know, ask God to heal and all that. I think that's wonderful. I went to a meeting today invited by Pastor John Elliott, who's heads up an alliance, a pastor's alliance in Santa Fe and Hitchcock, and they had about 30 pastors show up there today and at their normal monthly meeting. And I said, "You always have this turnout?" He goes, Oh, no. But it's because of the situation. Now all of a sudden, you know, and understandably, pastors are coming out and giving their support and things like that. But I was, I'm going to read out of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you would just read it and decided to just camp out there and decided that you wanted to be a doer of everything that's in Romans chapter 12, you could stay there for a long time and you could thrive as a believer. We could thrive as a church. Now, we're not living in one chapter, but it's really an important chapter. It's a chapter that we refer to quite a bit around here about renewing our minds, but I want to just take a minute now and read this in the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." Verse 3, "For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. For just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use, so we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on each other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us," every one of us has gifts. Everybody say this with me. I have gifts, okay, "that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. If service in the act of serving, or he who teaches in the act of teaching, or he who encourages in the act of encouragement, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy in caring for others with cheerfulness. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness, hold on tightly to what is good, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family, give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, sharing others' joy, and weep with those who weep, sharing others' grief. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. Never repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is right and gracious and proper in the sight of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's so much in there. And here's the thing. By God's grace, we're able as a body to be able to do that. Now, it says there that there is a grace involved with those gifts that were mentioned. These gifts are what has become to known as the motivational gifts. I like to think of it this way. This is how to do life gifts. This is how we do life. And it's not about getting up and prophesying, oh, you know, the gift, that gift of prophecy. It's that someone with a prophetic gifting, that person is more or less a black and white and tells God's word the way it is. It's not, that's not really necessarily talking about the gift of prophecy operating in a church service. It's one who has just been gifted prophetically, okay? And it goes on to name those gifts, but here's what we need to realize. Every one of those gifts that I just mentioned, that every one of us operate in at one time or another in our life, or one point of another, either during the course of a day or the course of a month or throughout the year, all of us flow in those supernatural gifts. There are some who flow in that more abundantly than others. There are some that have, you know, some that talks about serving. Some people, man, they just can't wait to jump in and bless people. The gift of mercy. Some people have such an empathetic heart towards people, and they're full of mercy. All of these gifts work together, and all of them are like a combined thing which brings increase to the body, you see? And the thing about what we've been talking about lately so much is the grace or the giftings of God in each of every one of us, tapping into them and learning how to just release them at the time when it's needed. If there's ever a time to talk about this, now is the time. And I don't want to use a tragedy to focus on this, but come on, folks. Let's talk about what God wants us to do, you see? These are supernatural gifts. I just went and saw the movies, The Avengers. Has anybody seen The Avengers? Now, I'm sorry. Maybe that as a pastor, I shouldn't be. I'm going to tell you something. That movie will preach, all right? Now, here are the Avengers, right? All of them that come in to save the world. All of them show up with their gifting. All of them have special superpowers. All of them, and I think one of the saddest things that I saw in that movie was the Hulk. In the beginning of the movie, hang with me. This will preach. Just hang with me. In the opening scene of the movie, Hulk just gets beat up bad by the evil guy in the movie. He just gets pounded. It looked like he was going to beat the guy up, and the guy got tired of it. And all of a sudden, he throws the Hulk a beating and leaves him in a heap. And then later on in the movie, when all of the Avengers got together, the Hulk, when everybody's coming together to save the world, you know what the Hulk? He wouldn't come out. He was scared. Who's the Steve Bannon? Is that the guy's name? Huh? Bruce Banner? Bruce Banner. Okay. Well, he's the guy pre-Hulk. And so they're in the middle of all this fighting, and Banner's going, come on, come on. And all of a sudden he starts turning a little bit green. And then all of a sudden you hear this, no. He got beat up so bad that he didn't want to come and fight anymore. So all you Hulk fans, that must have been disappointing. You know, because the Hulk wouldn't fight. And he never did. You know, throughout the whole movie, he had to, you know, he just, because he got beat up so bad, he wouldn't fight when it really came down to it. And you guys ever been beat up? Any of you guys ever been traumatized? Have you guys ever been abused, either verbally or emotionally or physically? But you know what? Here you are. You're sitting here clothing in your right mind, and you're here to fight one more time. Amen? And you're not going to back off, and you're not going to step back. You're not going to be held back anymore, because the same comfort that you were comforted with, you're ready to get in there and get in the fray and get the job done. Amen? Okay? So I just thought, man, that's an inspiring movie, because Every one of you guys is a superhero. And it's time, it's because of Jesus. Now let's get back to the, you know, nothing in yourself, okay? It's because the Spirit of God that you carry with you. I've asked this question years past. It's been a long time. Maybe some of you remember. I preached this a long, long time ago, but I asked this question. Who's got a, Ricky, you got a notepad? Be my secretary. I asked this question. I said, I want you to think of a person that's had the most influence in your life in a positive way, that has affected you. If you had to name one person that has affected your life positively, and you were to give one word that would describe that person, okay? Give one word of why they were the most influential part of your life that affected you positively, okay? And I want you to, I want to just think about it for a second. If you had to use one word that would say why they were the most influential in your life, let me get it rolling. Respectful. Okay, they respected you. Can I get that rolling? Or give me now. You've had time to think. Johnny, give me
steadfast.
Okay.
Greatness.
Huh? Greatness. Okay. That's good. That's affected you. Why it's affected you personally. Yes. Merciful. Encouragement, good one. Love, getting this, Ricky? Integrity, wisdom, huh? Tolerant, that's a good one. Compassionate, passionate. Okay, very good. There are no real answers, by the way. This is you. This is what's affected you. Good, huh? Giving. All right. Boldness. Encouraged. Okay. Godly. Okay.
Forgiving.
Love. All right. Selfless. A couple more and then we'll go on. Huh? Honesty. Okay, good. Good. Huh? Audacity? Good one. All right. Ricky, give me that list now. Let me see that list. Can I read your writing or are you writing in tongues? Okay. Okay. Now I need the gift of interpretation. No, here we go. Okay. Respectful, steadfast, greatness, merciful, encouragement, love, boldness, forgiving, honesty, faithful, integrity, wisdom, tolerance, compassion, giving, godly, selfless, audacity. Okay. How many of these actually have to do with a talent or an ability? There, not many of these have to do with any type of talent. These are all heart attitudes that were directed towards you that had an absolute impact on your life for the better, okay? There's nothing in here that not one of us cannot do if we just decided we're going to do it. Amen? And now here's the thing. There are people in the world that can do this and affect people's lives. Now, let's take a believer. Let's take a believer that will choose to impact a person's life and not only operate in these hard attitudes, but take the Spirit of God and the anointing of God and put it on that person and look what an impact we can have on this world. You see? I was at a game the other day at the high school and at a baseball game. I'm standing next to one of the dads whose son's a player. And he turned to me, he said, Pastor John, my son wanted me to tell you this. That years ago, when he was real young, you were the first one that recognized his potential as a player, and he said he never forgot that. And he said, I want you to tell him that, Dad. Well, I had very little to do with this young man. I had very little. Just a couple of times I've talked with him and just exhorted him and said, "Hey, you're going to be a great player and this and that." But it stuck enough to where he told his dad, "Hey, tell Pastor John that it really had an impact on my life." And that was just a little couple of times that I've been there. And I thought to myself, "Huh, we never know. We never know sometimes the impact that we have on someone's life, either for the good or for the bad, until maybe some years later. I happened to be at the Hall of Fame induction at Lamar Baseball. There were five different guys being inducted from past Lamar University baseball players. I remember two specifically that got up there. One was Kevin Millar, who played on the 2004 Boston Red Sox World Championship team and now has a talk show on Intentional Talk that's on. He's well-known in baseball circles. I don't know what God put me in a church where no one cares about baseball. But anyway, I got a couple people now. But, you know, I've always wanted to hear any. Nobody cares about baseball in this church. You know, but now finally God's granted my, you know, anyway. But anyway, this guy's a big deal in baseball circles. And he got up there very successful. And he goes, he says, "I want to thank Jim Gilligan because he's the reason why I'm here today. He's the reason why I've done what I've done today. It's because of his impact on my life." And another guy got up and he said, this guy was inducted. His name is Casey Smart. He's a successful businessman, got about 600 employees under him. And he said, he told a story about when he was a pitcher and he got hurt. And rather than taking his scholarship away because he was hurt, he says, because Coach Gilligan kept my scholarship, and he didn't have to. He kept my scholarship, and that affected me in such a way that that's affected me in how I treat my employees today. Now, those are natural things, okay? Those are things that it's wonderful that we can have an impact, but I want us to, in the days ahead, it's almost like let's go back to square one, and let's focus on what's really important. You know, the giftings of God. I remember having lunch with Lester Summerall. I said, "Dr. Summerall, what's the key to revival?" He says, "The gifts of the Spirit." That's good for me. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for me. And the Bible tells us to earnestly seek the best gifts. But if the best gifts are not sought without love and benefiting others, then it's possible to frustrate the grace of God that's on your life. These gifts are not to be, "Well, look at me, and I've got this going, and I've got that going, and I'm going after that guy." How many people have gone to church services because they heard someone had a gift of prophecy? "Oh, I'm going to get a word, I'm going to get a word, I'm going to get a word tonight." Come on now, we've all been, I've seen that, you know. And it's not the giftings, you know, it's the love behind it, you know. And it's 1 Peter 4:9 says that these gifts that we have and these gracings that we have are supposed to be used for the benefit of others. So when we take that and we keep that in mind and we realize everywhere we go, we have an opportunity to release. And I just thought, you know, it's another kid that maybe fell through the cracks, or maybe a kid that was bullied. I don't know all the details on that. And we may never get the full answer of all this, but I realize this, is that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I don't care how much evil there is out in the world, that God's grace is bigger than any evil. So we can either react to darkness or we can respond by faith in what we have. And we as a church, we take our sphere of influence that we have, and we go and we release it. That's the only answer to this thing right here. I really believe it is. I believe that God wants us to really come into our own as believers. I'm talking to young and I'm talking to old here. And we're never too old to say, "Well, I'm just going to, nah, you ain't sitting back. I'm sorry. You know, you're a believer. If you go here, you ain't going to sit back and retire." And there are some people that retire, but they don't retire. You know, there's a difference between not going to a 9-to-5 job, you know, and then You just don't get, we don't get to shut it off until we stop breathing. That's the way I look at it, you know. And so I just thought, you know, I was just thinking today, what is it, what do we need to get back to? And let me, can I ask you something? Y'all remember this? If you recall, I passed these out on Easter Sunday. How many years ago was that? A few? It always seems longer than what I think. You know, it seems like it was yesterday. It seems like it was last year I passed these out. It was a while back, and the Lord instructed me on Easter Sunday to preach about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And I said, this is the trademark of a believer. There's no, you'll never find greatness in the kingdom of God unless you value other people, unless you put a value on other people. And the thing about honor is the atmosphere in a church that puts God's people at their best. It puts us at our best. And the thing about true biblical honor is this. True biblical honor is given when it's not deserved. I think so often, and I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen that honor. Sometimes we take the corporate approach to honor, and we honor the people that have achieved much and have done much and have made great advancements for the kingdom of God. And I believe in that. I believe in honoring. You know, when I was up at Country Camp, me and Gina were up there for 7-8 years. We believed in honoring people. And we honored pastors that came in, and some pastors that with small churches that didn't get a whole lot of pats on the back, and some of them were struggling. And we've ministered to hundreds of people in leaders' meetings up there that if they didn't get a word from God, they were going to quit the ministry. I can't tell you how many times we got to minister a word in season to either a senior pastor, a children's pastor, a youth pastor, somebody that was so discouraged and so disheartened, and nobody caring, and this and that. They're about to quit, and they said, "Pastor, you gave us some fresh hope, and we're not going to quit." They were ready to just chuck it all in. They said, "If we don't get a word from God at this camp right here, we're out of here." What is it, 1,500 churches a day that close or something like that? Somebody's got to stay put. Somebody's got to dig in. Somebody has to have the grit and the courage to do what we're called to do. And you guys are doing it. And we're doing it now. We're going to do it better in the days ahead. God's going to give us strategies in the days ahead to reach more people. Now, I don't want to raise a hands. But I'm just going to put things in perspective. And don't raise that, because I don't want to embarrass anyone. I want you to think about something. If getting out of your chair and having to move up here puts something inside of you, say, "Why am I having to do this? I don't want to do this." We got a ways to go. Don't raise your hand. All right. If we can't get out of our comfort zone in something as small as that, I've stopped preaching and gone to meddling right now. I'm just saying, if something as benign as, "Hey, just come on up front and sit here. What's going on here?" I did it today. I did it at that meeting. We had this meeting at this place. It was a burger place right next to the Olive Garden down there, Burgers and More or something like that. Well, it was crowded and it was loud, and I'm thinking, man, why are we having a meeting at this place? You can't even hear. How are we going to get this? I'm thinking to myself, how are we going to really do anything effective in this? It just wasn't, I mean, here I am just murmuring to myself. I'm thinking to myself, and then I said, "Dear God, what's wrong with you?" That's why they had the meeting every month, all right? They decided to have it there, and that's why they're doing that. But we all have our opinions, and we all think something's better, and I know this, and I know that, and I can do this better, and this and that, and we're just there to bless people, you know? We're just there to be a blessing. We're just there to release and whatever we have. And some of you are going to have a pulpit ministry. Great. It's no greater. I was just thinking of Ms. Gay. Where's Ms. Gay? She's at the front door greeting people. That's the first breakdown. That's the first release as people come into the church of possibly breaking down hurt or breaking down depression. That touch right there, that anointed touch, that grace touch, that servant's touch with the grace of God on it, I pray we never take that for granted. And so if we need to get knocked out of our comfort zones and do things, when's the last time you did something for the first time? Who's that? You know, that Hootie and the Blowfish guy sang that song. When was the last time you did something for the first time? I don't know. I can't even get to the thing. But I heard that song, and I thought, man, that's a good song. You know, when's the last time you did something for the first time that you never did before? You know, that you're willing to get out of your little comfort zone and realize, boy, I'll tell you what, I married a woman who does this good. You know, she does this good. And I was talking to her the other day, and I remember the days when we were both in singles ministry together. This is before we were married. I was the singles pastor, and she came to the singles group reluctantly because she thought these singles ministries are it's a leper colony. That's what she was thinking. Because she's seen stuff, and she's seen, you know, it's like, she was reluctant, but I'm going to tell you something. Once she did decide to come, she had an agenda. You know, can I challenge us to have an agenda when we come to church and not just come to church and not just what am I going to get today? And I hope the pastor's on the mark finally with something or, you know, hey, you hit that one pretty good. Hey, that's a pleasant change. But anyway, you know, we come in and she had an agenda, and every time she came, and here's the thing I want us to all and be able, we might have to swallow hard on this, okay, myself included. But she would come, and we had a large singles group. There were times that we met on Friday nights. So we had 100 or so. And it was a very unique back in that day because we had kids from 18 to 80, 80 plus. I mean, there was such a mix of ages. There was young and old and everybody just flowing together and having a good time. And invariably, though, there'd be people come in and you can tell they either have been hurt and they've been like the Hulk, got beat up, and they're sitting there by themselves and they're not expecting anything good. And they got there somehow, or they came there somehow, but she would make it a point. She never let someone sit by themselves. And she always went over, and she went out of her way to make a friend to someone that no one was talking to, while the rest, I'll include myself in it, the rest of us would be in our safe little cliques. Nothing wrong, good people gathering together, people we feel comfortable with, nothing wrong with that. But you know what? There comes a time when we got to get out of that little comfort zone and look around and take another look and look around besides what makes us feel comfortable on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and realize no one should leave a church that hadn't been touched or greeted by someone. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I like to make the rounds. I get here early, and I'll make the rounds before church starts, and I'll make the rounds during the hug attack. And the thing that really bothers me when I'm seeing everyone doing a hug attack and I see someone sitting there and no one's going over to talk to them. That really bothers me. Just so you know. Okay? And it's all that thing, I'll let someone else do it. You do it. You know? You do it. Hey, I'm John. Hey, how you doing? And I've learned to stop saying, is this your first time here? Oh, that gets you in a lot of trouble. No, Pastor, I've been going here for 6 months now. Oh, okay. I've learned to protect myself. And some people say 6 months. Yeah, they've came 3 or 4 times in 6 months, and they expect you to know the names of all their kids and their birthdays. You know what I'm... Okay, is that okay to say that? I'm just saying. I used to do the television intros at Livingstone's Church for the television ministry. And so I would introduce, hey, today's a wonderful day. Pastor Jandl's got a great message for you. I want you to sit back and be blessed as he presents, you know, and just doing that. You know, I had my jacket and tie on, and we'd be wearing shorts underneath, you know, because they would just shoot me from the waist up. You know, that's a little television trick, you know. You don't have to get dressed up just as long as you got your jacket and your shirt on. But I would do that, and so we'd go to Baybrook Mall or something, and people would come up to me because they recognized me from television, just from doing that intro. And that's where I learned to not ask them if... And when people come up to me that I never saw before, I didn't think I've seen before, I said, you know what? We need to be careful how we act in public, don't we? We need to be careful how we act in public, because you never know who's watching. And somebody's always watching, you know? And so, is this making any sense? There's so much to do. And I want to encourage all of us, if we're blessed at where we're at, and God's blessing us, and we're receiving, and we're growing, and things like this. This is the, you know, preaching to the choir group right here. But we need to start exporting it more and more, and doing things on purpose, doing things intentionally, doing things like, I'm going to call somebody, I'm going to give a card, I'm going to, you know, just like the other day, I was at Home Depot, and I took the time to, this guy was passing out tracts, and I took the time, because it wasn't at a stoplight. You know, the other day I gave a couple of bucks to a guy in a corner with a sign, and I don't know, I've just come by that honestly. My wife, it doesn't matter. You know, some people say, well, they're just exploiting, and you realize some of those guys make $100,000 a year doing that? I said, that don't matter, you know. So I've learned, I tell you where I've learned it. I've come from a family, I've married into a family where Gina's mom, and we used to travel more. We would get in the van and load up everybody in the van, and this one, John was real little, and we'd go on these road trips and go to different places, and we'd have a snack box about, with just snacks, just, you know, stuff to eat, you know, because we're going to be on the road. And Gene, I remember saying, hey, pull over into that 7-Eleven. I want to get a sandwich and go out and get a sandwich and a Coke. I said, what do you need a sandwich and a Coke, man? We got all this food right here. What are we getting a sandwich and a Coke for? And so we get back in the car, and she goes, drive over there. And there was this man sitting down on the curb, and he was kind of an elderly guy. And you know, if she spots him, forget it. It's all over. And God forbid, if a car's on the side of the road and you see a kid in the back window, oh, forget it, man. Make a U-turn and come. This is what I married into. And this is what Gina has come by, honestly. So that's why she do what she do. You know what I'm saying? And so what if we would begin that tradition in our own lives, even if it hasn't been something that's comfortable to us in times past? You don't have to be an extrovert to do this. I'm not talking about jumping up and down. I'm not talking about, you know, you can do it in your own quiet way. You can be yourself. But there's people out there that are hurting, you know, that we pass by every day, you know. And I don't know. I just wanted to share that tonight. This is a good time. I don't believe in reacting to darkness, but I really believe in responding in the Spirit. We can either do. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's like acts of compassion and acts. I'm all for that, but I would rather, as a church, I'd rather see us adopt a lifestyle of things. It's like a greenhouse. It's like creating an atmosphere in our church and in our homes and in our relationships where growth is easy to take place because of the atmosphere that we set, you see? And when you come into a church and there's and everybody's loving and everybody's supporting in their way, you see, and everybody is caring and everybody is engaged and everybody's come not to get but to receive, just imagine the impact we can have, not only in our church but in our communities, you see. And so I am preaching to myself. Because as a pastor, I've got to take a look at this, because it's, me and Gina was saying, you know, it starts with leadership, and we ain't doing it. Why should we expect you to do it, you know? But I've seen a lot of abuses along the way. I've seen the way in the church where things were done and they're not right, and where leadership says you. I have some stories that are heartbreaking. I had one pastor one time who was preaching at this church, and the guy had a car for him, and he wanted a white town car, and it was a black town car, and he gets in the car, says, "The Lord is not pleased with this." And I'm thinking, dear God Almighty. And that's what leadership is saying. And this one pastor would park his car diagonally in the parking lots, in a parking lot, you know, because he didn't want nobody next to his nice looking car. And so these kids that see him do it in the ministry there, they seen him do it. Guess what? They're parking their clunked up, beat up, got 50 dents in it, 150,000 mile cars. They're parking them sideways so no one will dent their car. Give me a break. But you see, that's what they're watching. And that's what they're seeing. And so, y'all hear what I'm saying? I had some stuff written down, and I just... The word solidarity came to me. And I looked up the exact definition of it. And solidarity is unity or agreement of feeling or action, especially among individuals with a common interest, mutual support within a group. Some of the synonyms: unity, agreement, accord, harmony, cohesion, fraternity, concurrence. Preemptive means serving or intended to preempt or forestall something, especially to prevent attack by disabling the enemy. That's a preemptive strike. The whole intent is to disable the enemy. You realize when we start moving out in love and we start moving out in compassion, it's like kicking the enemy right in the teeth, you know. And these people that are just, you know, wanting someone to love them, wanting someone to care about them. I just thought the different, you know, we have the ability and the capacity, but it's all about allowing the Spirit of God. All of our success in life depends on how in-depth our relationship with the Holy Spirit is, bottom line. I'm talking about as a believer. As a believer, your success in the kingdom has everything to do with how we're allowing ourselves to yield to the Spirit of God in our everyday life. Amen. I've had people. There are some people in the ministry I got to rub shoulders with, and you know, I think about things that I heard, and you know, I heard a story that Dr. Whitaker. I don't know if you remember Dr. Whitaker. But he was very close to T.L. Osborne, and you know, and he was at a. For those of you who didn't heard it, just nod and say, "Hey, that's great." He's at a meeting in Africa, and there, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, and this witch doctor was trying to mess up the meeting, you know. And Dr. Whitaker made the mistake of saying a disparaging remark about the witch doctor. And T.L. Osborne looked at him and said, "Who made you God?" And I just thought I probably would have done the same thing, you know. But T.L. Osborne saw that witch doctor as just a child of God that needed to get saved. And even though he was messing up, that's why it's very important that we choose our words carefully concerning leadership, concerning our president, concerning the Democrats, concerning the Republicans, concerning the Libertarians, concerning everybody. Guard our words, you know, let them be full of grace. You know, John was sharing with me today that in the midst of all this right now, there's a lot of strife with leadership in Hitchcock. And I don't feel led to give you the details of it, but we need to pray for it. And on the same token, the new mayor in Santa Fe, he's a fairly young guy, I think 38 years old. He hadn't even been sworn in yet. And he's got to face this stuff right now. So he needs our prayers. The ones that are stirring up trouble, they need our prayers. And so we're going to let the church be the church right now. Let's pray for a minute, okay? And that's all right. Father, we just come to you. We just come to you today and thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and teaching us, Lord God. And I thank you that in times like this, we can check our heart. And as your word tells us, to examine our heart to see whether we're in the faith. So we examine ourselves today, Lord God. We examine our heart and our attitudes. And Father God, we welcome the leading of your Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Father God, we stir up the gift of God that's within us, Lord God. I thank you for a stirring up of your gifts and coming forth in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord God, that you're speaking to us loud and clear in ways that we can understand. So, Father God, we lift up all of the people in Santa Fe and Hitchcock and surrounding areas. We lift up all the leadership. And, Father God, where the strife is, we just cut its head off right now in the name of Jesus. We call its power to naught. We speak favor over the police department there. We thank you, Father God, for all the leaders and all the pastors and Father God, for this new mayor, Father God, give him the grace, give him the wisdom, give him the ability, Lord God, to navigate through this tragedy. And so, Father God, we just lift him up and we undergird him today. We plead the blood of Jesus over him right now. And Father God, as that service is going on tonight, I thank you that Jesus will be lifted up and Jesus will be exalted. There would be no self-serving agendas and there'd be no self-promotion, Father God. But I thank you that the words that come forth would bring healing to that community right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let the pastors operate in one accord. Let the pastors not think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. But Father God, that they would release their giftings out on the people that are hurting and that are in distress right now. So, Father God, thank you for that service. But, Father God, I thank you that in the days ahead, you're showing us how to preemptively live our life to thwart the attack and not be a first responder to tragedy. I thank you, Father God, you're going to use us in the days ahead before the enemy has a chance to inflict his damage. That, Father God, we would come and we would disable the enemy right now. And that's what we do tonight, Lord God, as believers. Your word says if one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So, Father God, there's enough unity in this room and enough faith in this room to destroy the works of the enemy and any plan that they might have. So, Father God, we purpose in our heart. We're going to be used by you, Lord God. We know that this is not an event that we're involved in. This is a lifestyle of yielding to your Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, everything we do. Father God, let it start in our homes. I pray over families right now. I pray over marriages. I pray over young people. I pray over teenagers, Lord God. Pray over adolescents. Pray over the very young ones. I thank you, Father God, that things are happening in their life that they'll not depart from when they're old, that seeds are being sown. I thank you for families, for homes. They're taking back the Spirit of God. They're taking back their homes again, and they're getting rid of the evil that's tried to perpetrate itself in there. And so, Father God, give parents a resolve to do the right thing in the days ahead. Father God, show us how we can help this community and the surrounding areas. Show us how we can be effective for you. And Father God, I pray you'd give us a boldness right now. I pray you'd give us a boldness to do what you want us to do, to say what you want us to say, Lord God. And Father God, give us a heart to get out of our comfort areas that we've maybe settled in and we've dug in and we've just become comfortable. Father God, I pray that we would get out of that in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that we would surely offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, because you said that's our rational and intelligent service towards you. It's just the right thing to do. So, Father God, we just thank you. Father God, we don't react to darkness. We respond to what you show us to do. Father God, increase our sphere of influence. Increase our sphere of influence as a church, and increase our sphere of influence as individuals, Lord God. Father God, we're willing to, as you put people on our heart, we're willing to not just think about it or even pray, but we're willing to respond and reach out and touch people. So, Lord God, I just thank you. Father God, I thank you that this is a church that would be known by its love. You said, you'll know my disciples by the love they have one for another. And so, Father God, we thank you for the giftings, and we thank you for all that. But we want to be known by love, Lord God, by your love that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And we just thank you. I pray your wisdom. I pray creative ideas right now of how to reach people, creative ideas of how to touch people in the days ahead. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we lift up our veterans, Lord God. We lift up those that have gone before, those that have paid the price so that we can live in liberty and freedom, Father God. We don't take it lightly. I pray that this generation would come to respect the price that's been paid, Lord God. And we just thank you for them. We just pray your blessing over them. We pray your strength over them, for them and their families, Lord God. We pray for all of our people in armed forces serving today, Lord God. Protect them wherever they're at. And we just thank you. Father God, I pray right now for this summit meeting. Father God, I just pray. I pray, Lord God, for your peace. I pray that I come against strife. I come against division. I come against confusion right now. And Father God, I pray that your will for that to take place, that it would take place in Jesus' name. And we just thank you. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you and give you the praise for that. Hallelujah. Lori, who's that person you wanted to pray for? Roxy? Father God, we pray for Roxy. Father, we pray for her entire spinal cord, Lord God, that you would touch it and heal it and mend it and make it whole. We just command the pain to leave right now. We thank you for no other surgeries needed, Father God. But Father God, just touch her right where she's at, that she would know that you've healed her and you've ministered to her. So we lift up Roxy and thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we lift up those that have been wounded in these shootings, for those that supernaturally they would recover. Supernaturally, you'd raise them back up again. We thank you, and that the world would know and that the community would know that your hand is on their life. In the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you for that. We pray the balm of Gilead over all those parents, Lord God. For all those parents that lost their children. Father, words can't describe it, but only the comfort of the Holy Spirit can do anything in this situation, Lord God. So we just pray your love over them and your mercy over them and your compassion over them right now. In Jesus' name, we were able to pray for the family of Christian Garcia. He's the young man that was writing scriptures on the walls as he was building that house, and they showed it on, I think they showed it on TV, and his parents came in there and we got to wrap our arms around them the other day. And Hallelujah. The thing the devil intended for evil, God's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. Time may be some time, but he's going to turn this thing around in the name of Jesus. And so, hallelujah. Anybody else have anything? Well, stand up and pray.
Father God, we just come before you right now, and we are just so grateful and so thankful that you are our Lord and Savior. Father God, I just lift up every soul in this nation, in this city, in this county, Father God, that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that through all this tragedy, they are going to find you, Father God, and they are going to be on fire for you, Lord Jesus. And as a result, there's going to be a chain reaction, that there's going to be so many lives saved and touched, that this nation is going to change. It's not about laws, Father God. It's about finding Jesus and accepting him as their personal Lord and Savior. And so we thank you, Father God, for sending your effective laborers to minister to each and every person who don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray that you'll let it start with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys are it. I'm calling you the God Squad. All right? So you're the God Squad. So that's what we used to have that. We used to have that at Living Stones when we were on Sunday morning. Gina, she had some youth that kids would come into the church and they'd be sitting, and she'd send, see that guy way over there, okay? And she'd send a couple over, and they bolt out of there, and they go over there and sit down and talk with them. And most of the time, they'd come back and sit in our youth section and this and that. But, you know, we need to be more aggressive. And, you know, Gina says this, and I agree, but I'd rather err on the side of reaching out than to miss somebody and not do anything. You know, if we're going to make an error, go, let's make it in that direction. At least people, when they come in here, they're not going to say, nobody noticed me. You realize that people that hurt, that's what they're thinking. Especially if they've been through a deep hurt. They're coming in and they're expecting not to be noticed. And so at least they say, hey, they didn't ignore me. You know, they didn't ignore me. So, Father, we lift up this young man to you right now, him and his family, Lord God. We know that the family hurts too. We know that the family, Lord God, needs healing, that their lives have been changed forever also. So we don't dismiss that, Lord God. And so we would just pray that your love would be extended towards that family. Father God, I pray that this young man would come to know Jesus, would come to accept him as Lord and Savior, Lord God, and the entire family. So, Father God, we envelop them in all of this, Father God, and we just thank you for touching them in Jesus' name. Okay? I just want to, you guys are great. We have a great church. God's blessed us. Amen. And this is something that, we're doing great. You know what? We're going to do greater. We're going to do more. And it's by the grace of God we're going to get it done in Jesus' name. So you all keep it up, all right? We're doing it, and God's helping us, and we're doing more, and he's showing us more, and we're going to be able to do it more effectively.
You and Pastor Gina always build us up. And you know, I've been here, I tell people all the time, I count the months and the days that I got to be blessed to meet Pastor Gina, because the Lord had to send in the big guns to get my attention. There's a lot of us, I grew up in I went to Catholic school, baptized, got communion, and I was never able to have a relationship until I got here. I always loved the Lord, but I didn't have the obedience to the Lord, which I'm still learning today. There's not been a time that I haven't walked in here that I didn't feel the love and the presence, not just of the Holy Spirit, but the tag team that Pastor John and Pastor Gina have, that they bring forth to all of us to want to do better and be better. And they compliment us all the time, but I know each and every one of us hold them up in such high regards and such a respect for them that we don't get a chance to always tell them. many of us, the homes that we grew up in, we had love, but we didn't have an example. And I am one of those people that came in here, and I never had an example of what true love was, and what kindness was. And this is not pity, this is gratitude. Because today I am a good mother. I'm a good sister. I'm a friend. Do I fall short? Oh my gosh, yes. But I have a willing heart to correct my wrongs. I have a loving God who I can say, Lord, oh my God, I messed up. Will you please forgive me and give me the courage to move forward and be better and show you in me to others and cancel out the old woman that I used to be. And it is out of their love and their example of what, who we need to be, how we need to be, that has helped form us and develop us and encourage us to move forward in the Jesus that is in us. And when Pastor says, I am He is alive in me, there is so much strength and power in that. And when I walk out these doors, I'm always a better person. And I have developed, and I will continue to develop as we all will. But for that, I say more than gratefulness and thank you.
She said it just the way I told her to. You all good? You get anything out of tonight? Are we leaving better than when we arrived? All right. Very good. Then I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.